Happy New Year and all that. It's Happy New Year. It's now the it's Monday the 20th of January. 20 days in already. We've had some incredible services, Sunday services, the past couple of weeks already. And you've just been speaking. You've just been sharing your heart on what you think God is saying to us for this year. Last week you spoke to some game changers, Ian.
I did, John.
Us a summary.
I spoke on game changers because I really sense that God is instructing us, directing us to be an influence. Mm. And I was sat in my office at home just reflecting and kind of contemplating really what this year holds for us as a church. And the term game changer just came right into my heart.
Yeah.
And I started to think on that a little bit. And when I Googled, you know, all good ministers go to Google. When I went to Google and just put that word game changer in, it simply describes an athlete or a phase of play that suddenly changes the outcome of a contest or a game. And
I just felt
that the Spirit of God was saying to us as local church that we could become game changers and our very presence, our actions into community could suddenly change the outcome of what our community is confronted with currently. And that was what it was, John. So that was the heart of what I was trying to communicate.
I've got this idea of a Wales-England rugby match going on.
Yes.
And the game is a bit stale. And
yes.
all of a sudden, one of our Welsh rugby heroes, the ball comes to him, he runs half the line. It just changes the match completely on its head. He scores, puts a try down, conversion, a few more tries after that, Wales win. Yeah?
Okay, so I always thought you were a man of truth and integrity and a man of vision. And, John, you know that would never happen.
Yeah, true.
Obviously, it could be the guys wearing the whites that could do that.
Yes.
But yeah, definitely someone who steps up, somebody who chooses not to just be part of a game, but chooses to change the outcome of that game. And I believe that every member of our congregation and further afield, if they are determined, if they're intentional, they can make a difference in their world.
Absolutely. Brilliant, brilliant. And we all want to be game changers. Now, this Sunday, it was almost a part two of that, and you really wanted to share on our year kind of theme on influence. Perhaps you could just start delving into that for us.
Yeah, certainly can. I'm a firm believer that some of the things that we're talking into our church are really key.
Yeah.
So when you talk about discipleship, That's vitally important. Mm-hmm. When Jordan talks about mission,
yeah.
I find that equally as important because both go hand in hand. But the kind of the job roles that you've kind of given myself and Jackie over the course of the last few months really is to investigate, to inquire about prayer.
Mm-hmm.
And I really believe that if we are to be the game changers, the influencers that God's destined us to be, that we really need to take prayer seriously.
Yeah. Yeah.
And yesterday was, in a sense, part two for me, or part three, actually, because I spoke about More Than Enough,
the very first Sunday of
the month. And I kind of said to the church, when they wake up in the morning, I want them to do whatever they have to do, and then to go into the bathroom and to look themselves in the mirror,
yeah.
or maybe at their dressing table, or maybe in some other kind of mirror setting. And I want them to look themselves in the eye, and I want them to say, today I will make a difference. Because I'm a firm believer that every one of us are destined purpose to make a difference in our
That's
world.
Great. That's great. Wonderful. And and what was really powerful yesterday is that you spoke on an incredible prayer.
I did.
That's prayed in 1 Chronicles...
Chapter 4. And let me just look at my notes here a minute, John. 1 Chronicles chapter 4, verse 10. Starts off in verse 9 and verse 10. And many would know it as the prayer of Jabez.
That's right, yeah.
And it's really, really important. And I'm a firm believer that if we as local church begin to pray that we will see some significant shifts in the spiritual world.
Yeah.
I really believe that we'll begin to see an outpouring of God's Holy Spirit into our lives. And I started to pray this prayer towards the latter part of last year.
Yeah.
Made it my daily prayer.
Yeah.
Recognizing that in the in the story of Jabez, you know, we can go back a little bit, really, because the first nine chapters of the book of Jabez are filled with genealogy, filled with a lot of begatting, and we laughed a little bit at that yesterday about begatting, you know, making babies and so on. But there's a list of sons and daughters, and then you have this array of names, family lines, establishing family inheritances and highlighting the authorization upon their lives. And I think in the first nine chapters, there's about not just over 900 names mentioned there, male, female, and people group. And then smack bang in the center of those first nine chapters, you get these two verses, not just the name, but two verses outlining this individual. And the prayer is really important.
The prayer is really important. That's incredible. So just a kind of recap. So you've got all this kind of family history. So and so was the father of so and so. So and so was the father and so. So it goes all the way through, and then uncharacteristically, it stops, and there's this prayer.
There is
by a guy called Jabez. Nothing more is said much about him apart from what we can glean from this prayer.
Yeah, true. And let me just quote you the prayer so it kind of helps us, really. It says, Jabez cried out to God, "Oh, that you would bless me and enlarge my territory. Let your hands be with me and keep me from harm so that I will be free from pain."
Yeah.
And God granted his request. That's verse 10. But if you were to look at verse 9, it says that Jabez was more honorable than his brothers.
Yeah, yeah.
And his mother named him Jabez, which is interesting because in the kind of historical patterns of how names were given, it wasn't the mother's responsibility to give the name. It was the father's
duty and
responsibility. Yet the mother names him Jabez because that name means pain. And we don't know the context of the birth. We don't know necessarily why. What was she describing what his life would be like? Or was she, in a sense, prescribing, prophesying what his life would be? We don't know. But that's the name he was given. But in the midst of that prayer, he begins to pray it. And that there's some wonderful shifts that take place. You see, it's a prayer asking for influence.
Yes.
It's a prayer asking for blessing. Mm. Boy, don't we need blessing.
Absolutely.
Favor, increase in protection. And then the tail end of the prayer, just as he was about to say amen, it says, and God granted his request.
That's incredible. God granted his request. So I know yesterday you kind of broke that down for us a tiny bit, but what does that look like in terms of local church? What does that look like for us at Riviera Life Church? How do you see this being at work, this prayer?
Well, I think we can take the themes of the prayer and we can begin to personalize them.
Yeah.
And we can also adapt them and adopt them for us as the body called church,
yes.
You know, Riviera Life Church. So I believe that we can pray for influence.
Yeah.
I believe that we can pray for blessing, and there's some lovely little thoughts I can bring on that in a few moments. I believe that we can pray for favor, and our church is 25 years old this year.
It's incredible.
And we've experienced tremendous favor over the course of the years, but I'm believing that we will experience unprecedented favor.
Yeah,
yeah. And favor that we've never kind of experienced before in all of our history. I believe that we can see increase, and we will see God's protection on us, because the moment a church or an individual decides to stand up and to be counted, all sorts of things happen.
Yeah.
They say the windows or the gates of hell are opened.
Yeah.
And we just need to know that God will protect us in that. But my prayer at this moment in time is, God, will you bless us?
Would you bless us? That word bless, we often use that as our church language quite a bit. I even hear it outside all the time, you know, when you're having conversations, someone goes, "Oh, bless you," that kind of thing. But this word bless, it's really powerful.
It is really powerful. And if we fully understood the weightiness behind it, I think we'd use it even more.
Yeah.
But firstly, we need to understand that Jabez cried out to God.
Yeah.
And we have a nation, a community that are crying out for help. They're crying out to social services. They're crying out to our political systems. They're crying out to secular organizations. And they're being answered in part, but they're not being answered in full.
That's right.
And what we really need to begin to understand is that we need to cry out to God. It says that he cried out to the God of Israel.
Yeah.
And we need to understand that the God of Israel is our source.
That's wonderful.
He's our source. And we read about his characteristics, his nature throughout the Old Testament and the New Testament. And we can understand that we have this God on our side.
Absolutely.
And we're on his side. Mm. And the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. But the word blessing is fascinating because it comes from a root word, which is barak. Mm. And I trust I've pronounced that correctly. But when Jabez cried out, will you bless me? That word barak simply means that someone or God who would stoop down and touch.
Yeah.
So when he was praying for blessing, he wasn't praying for health, wealth, or all the things that we maybe associate with blessing. But he was simply saying, God, will you stoop down into my world and will you then touch me?
Yeah.
And I find that fascinating because that it's exciting, it's thrilling, and it's knowing that we have a God who wants to do that.
Yeah.
And for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son. What does that mean? He blessed us by stooping down and sending his representation, his son, into our world. And it's brilliant. But there's other words that kind of, in a sense, formulate the word blessed or blessing. And that there's one word, and I joked with the church yesterday that I dare not try to pronounce it because it looks like macaroni. And I know that it's not macaroni. But it means this, to be fully satisfied and content regardless of the circumstance we may find ourselves in.
True.
And the Apostle Paul was a great one on this.
Yeah.
Because he says, you know, I am content. I am blessed in all situations, whether I am abased or abound, whether I'm in need or in plenty, whether I'm hungry or fed. He says, I am blessed in whatever.
Yeah.
So he knew what it was for God to stoop down and to touch his life.
Yes.
Which is really exciting. And there's broader thoughts on that as well.
Yeah.
You know, where the covenant between the Lord and Abraham was, I will bless you, so you then in turn can be a blessing.
That's right, yeah.
And if we grasp the meaning and the truth behind the word to be blessed or to be a blessing, God has stooped down and touched our lives.
Yes.
So we in turn can stoop down and touch other people's lives.
That's incredible.
It's powerful.
I think there's a whole load more there. In time, maybe, you know, that the touch of God on our lives.
It's massive.
I think you said before in conversation, you know, time and time again in the Old Testament, the hand of God was upon me. The hand of God was upon so-and-so. I think back to Ezekiel, who's, I think he's kind of quite despondent by the riverside in the beginning of Ezekiel. And it says, the hand of the Lord picked me up.
Exactly.
And put me on my feet again.
Yeah.
You know. It's wonderful.
The majestic hand, the hand of provision and protection. It's wonderful. And if we haven't got the hand of God on us, we're wasting our time.
But that's all we want. That's all we need.
It's the hand of God.
The hand of God.
It really is.
Incredible. So, any further thoughts on the prayer of Jabez there, Ian? Or I know towards the end of your sermon yesterday, you just outlined 1, 2, 3.
I did.
1, 2, 3. Perhaps you could share a bit more about that.
I did. Yeah, there is so much more in that whole prayer, Jabez. You know, when we talk about our territory being enlarged, what does that mean? Does it mean that we're all going to get an extension to our house? No, it doesn't. It doesn't necessarily mean that, but it does mean that the circle of our influence is going to increase.
Yes.
Our impact, it's like the pebble, like I spoke about last week, the pebble being thrown into the pond and the ripples going out and cascading out. And I really sense and believe that is for us. And I felt really kind of prophetically yesterday when I was sharing that whole verse from Isaiah where the prophet says, enlarge the place of your tent.
Yes.
And to stretch out your tent curtains. Don't hold back. Lengthen your cords. Strengthen your stakes. And I really sense us as a church that's really key as well. That we, part of the enlarging of our territory is that we have to do something.
Yes.
There's responsibility on our part to start the process. And as we do something, then God kicks in and blesses us in that. And the last verse, or the third verse of Isaiah 54 in the New Living Translation, it says that the reason for this is that you will soon be bursting at the seams.
Yes.
And my prayer for us as a local church and other churches within our community, other Bible-based, Spirit-filled churches, that they will soon be bursting at the seams.
Wonderful.
There's something in the air. There's something in the atmosphere that is taking place. So that's really key. But you mentioned, you know, 1, 2, 3. And 1, 2, 3 to me is very simple. Try to keep it very simple. But realizing the importance of prayer behind all of this. And I just wanted to encourage our congregation that, number one, simply begins to highlight the importance, the priority of our personal prayer life. It amazes me sometimes when I talk to Christians, whether they're new Christians or old Christians, how ill-disciplined they are when it comes to their own personal prayer life. And I'm also surprised sometimes when I talk to ministers, you know, those that you would think would be kind of not professional in this, but have something in place, and how little they have as well. But in Matthew chapter 6, it encourages us to, when you pray, to go behind some closed doors, shut the door. And there's some teaching in that as well, maybe, that you have to disconnect yourself from distraction. You have to disconnect yourself from the routine and the patterns of everyday kind of life, and just go and spend a few moments just talking to God, talking to Him, and not just talking to Him, but listening to Him. And I kind of just encourage the church, you know, that they make this a daily practice.
Absolutely. We can make it a daily practice to watch TV for 2 or 3 hours a day if we added it all up.
We can make it a daily practice to check our Facebook page and our Instagram and all of the other grams that you may be on. But just set some key time aside every day to close the door behind you and just to get some personal prayer.
Yeah,
That's a daily action. And then I wanted to encourage the church that maybe on a weekly basis, number two is that we create some prayer partners. Matthew chapter 18, verse 20 says that where 2 or 3 of you gather in my name, there I am in the midst.
Yes.
The New Testament is filled with illustration of when 2 agree in my name, it shall be done.
Yes.
And just create those moments where you meet weekly with someone, maybe working in the same complex as you, going to the same school as you, or just have some freedom, maybe the same social club, who knows. But just that opportunity where or living in the same ward within Torquay, you know, walk around and talk to them and pray with them. And just pray, begin to pray the prayer of Jabez over your community, and begin to see some transformation and change there. So number one was the personal prayer. Number two was the prayer partners or prayer triplets, whatever you want to call them. And then the third one was that our congregation are devoted to prayer. And they connect into a group on a monthly basis, whether that is the corporate prayer gathering that we have here at Riviera Life Church, or whether it's a life group or a small group, that they connect into that. Because it says in Acts chapter 2, verses 42 to 47, it says that they devoted themselves.
They did.
Guys, I can't be devoted for our church. They have to be devoted for themselves. It's hard enough to be devoted for myself sometimes. But they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to prayer, to the breaking of bread, and to fellowship. And I want to encourage our church that daily they work on their personal prayer life, that weekly they connect with somebody who they can pray with and connect with, and then monthly they pray as part of a larger group as well.
Yeah.
So that's the 1, 2, 3. Very simple. But I think if we can grasp this, it will make a lot of difference.
Absolutely. Incredible, challenging, so much to work through during the course of the next year. And I know we're really excited. Perhaps, Ian, just before we close again, just for those who maybe weren't in yesterday and those who are listening, can you just read through that prayer of Jabez once more?
Yeah, I certainly will.
As we can reflect on it as we just finish up.
I'll read it through again, and I'll just do one little section at a time, just give a little bit of pause for thought and reflection, and then at the tail end of it, where we say amen, I'm going to say amen to it, but those who are listening, maybe they just want to think about it, because we need to be careful what we pray for, because maybe God might just answer our prayer, and if He answers our prayer, it's serious business, it really is.
It is.
And the word amen simply means so be it.
So be it.
All right, so I'm not going to say that for anybody else, I'm just going to say it for myself. And I can't even say it for you, John, you Welshman. So the prayer of Jabez is this. Dear God, oh that you would bless me and enlarge my territory. Let your hand be with me keep me from harm, so that I will be free from pain. Amen.
Amen.
And if we can get a congregation, a body of people to believe this prayer, we will be influential, we'll be game changers, and our lives will make a difference, a massive difference.